All right, please turn in your Bibles to the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Last week we got through verse 10 of chapter 5. And so we'll be picking up at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. I think every translation except for the New King James Version, which is what I'm teaching out of, because that's what Cal preaches out of. I think verse 11 in all the other translation begins a new sentence, but in the New King James, verse 11 begins right in the middle of a sentence. But either way, no matter what translation you may be looking at, I think for the sake of continuity and for the sake of context, we need to back up and get a running start at the verses we're going to look at this morning. So let's begin reading it. Back up to verse 6. I know we covered this last week. We're just going to read it. Verse 6 of chapter 5, and we'll start there. As he also says, and who's the he in that verse? Who's the he in verse 6? God the Father. God the Father. And as God the Father says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And who did the Father say that to? Who did the Father say that about? Jesus. Okay, I'm just making sure you're dialed in with me here. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So you remember from last week, the writer is explaining to these new Jewish converts that they no longer need the high priest of Judaism to make intercession with God on their behalf. The high priest of Judaism was just merely a foreshadow, a picture of the real high priest that was to come. And now we have that real high priest, and he came in the form of Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. He is our high priest. Now, he's not saying, again, I'll emphasize what I said last week, Jesus is our high priest. The high priest of Judaism was merely a shadow, and you don't need the shadow when you got the real thing. Amen? You get that. So he's not saying we don't need a high priest. He's saying we have a high priest. Why do we need a high priest? Why did we say we need a high priest? Yeah, not just anyone can go. You can't represent yourself, and not just anyone can prance into the presence of Almighty God. We need a high priest to mediate between us and our God, because our God is holy and we're not. And so he's not saying we don't need a high priest. Verse 4:14 tells us plainly, we have a great high priest, and his name is Jesus, and he is far, far better than any earthly high priest could ever be. You with me on that? But you notice as we start to approach verse 11 and following, the writer sort of inserts this parenthesis here, and he gives what seems to be both a gentle rebuke as well as an exhortation. You may remember we said the book of Hebrews, it'll step on your toes with its five or six, however you want to count them, exhortations that are sprinkled throughout the book. And this is like, I don't know, number three, I think, of the exhortations that we see. The Hebrews, a lot of people call Hebrews a book of exhortations. And what do we mean by exhortation? What's an exhortation? What do we mean by that? I hear mumbling. Strong statement? Yeah, a warning. Did you say warning? Yeah, that's good. That's exactly right. In simple terms, that's kind of really what it is. It's a warning. And I think this one is both a warning and it's also a rebuke. And so the writer reminds us that God the Father said to Jesus, "You are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek." And in verse 11, he says, and we have a lot to say about that. We have a lot to say about Jesus being a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, but it is a deep subject and it's hard to understand. I hope you can see that in these scriptures. It shouldn't be hard to understand. It shouldn't be a difficult subject, but it is for these folks. Why? I heard it. Somebody mumbled it. I heard it. Because they become, look at verse 11 there. Because you have become dull of hearing. You with me? You see that? So he says, we got a lot to say about how Jesus is a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, but it's going to be difficult to explain it to you because you have become dull of hearing. What does he mean by dull of hearing? When you hear, what does that mean to you, dull of hearing? If I said you were dull of hearing, what does that mean? Do what? Hard-headed, yeah. Yeah, I think that's entirely possible as well. When I think of it, I think of, I don't know, slow, sluggish, not too bright, one who apprehends with difficulty, you might say. But there's really more to it than that. This Greek word, and Ellen kind of hit on it there, this Greek word also carries the idea of being indolent, languid, slothful, intentionally lazy. In fact, that's really the literal translation of the word lazy. David? That's exactly right. Yes, it does. Numb was another good word I heard, a translation I heard. But I think lazy describes it best. So, we have a lot to say about how Jesus is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, but it's going to be difficult to explain to you because you're just lazy. That makes sense? That's kind of what he's saying. It's hard to explain because you're lazy. Subtle, right? You know, I love my mama. Like most of you in here, I miss my mama every day. But when it came to disciplining me, my mama didn't play. She was a single mom, and she knew she had it all on her. She had to be the nurturer and the disciplinarian, and she knew she had to be both. And because she loved me, she knew she could not fail at either one of those jobs. But I remember as a kid, y'all remember when your mom, dad, or well, in my case, mom, went to the parent-teacher conferences? You remember those? God, dreaded those like the root canal, man. Because invariably, my mama would come home from a parent-teacher conference and she would not be happy. And because all the teachers would always say, Billy's behind in his work. He's plenty smart. He's just lazy. He will not do his work. He's just lazy. And, you know, I... It was always about those reading workbooks. Do y'all remember those stupid things? Because I hated reading. And so I never did want to do that. But anyway, I was just lazy. And I wasn't stupid. I was just lazy. And Carol might tell you I'm still lazy. I don't know. But that's what the writer's saying here. You people are lazy. Well, lazy about what? Reading the Bible. That's what it comes down to. You knew I would turn it into to a subject like that. But look down at verse 13 of chapter 5. He says, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. That book in your lap, that's the word of righteousness. They were unskilled in what the Bible has to say. You know, I've told you many times in here about the man I heard one time said, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I'm just ignorant of what's between the covers. And sadly, that's a statement that is true of a lot of folks in church today. So the writer says, you're not staying in the Word. You're not reading your Bibles. And don't answer this question out loud, but just to yourself. Are you unskilled in the things that Scripture teaches? Are you unskilled about it? And I realize even the most well-read of us in here would say, well, I don't know near enough about the Bible that as much as I wish I did. Cal would tell you that. I would tell you that. The more I study Scripture, the more I realize how little I know about it. I get that. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know in your heart of hearts if you're unskilled in the word of righteousness. And the only way to get skilled is to read it. I mean, and can I just, I'm going to step on, I'm not the preacher. I don't mean to be that the way this one. But can I just say, reading your Bible once a week, 15 minutes before you come to church, is not going to cut it. And don't tell me you don't do that, because I did it. I did that for years. That was about the only time I ever cracked open my Bible. Take a guess. What percentage of folks who call themselves Christians do you think actually read their Bibles during the week? What would you guess the percentage would be? 20? According to Christian market research, the fact is over 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sunday while in church. 82%? That's horrible. These folks were not reading their Bible, and neither are a lot of us. Yeah. That's a good way to do it. I agree with you. I shared this article a few years back. It's been several years, but written by a guy named Daniel Hames. I don't know who Daniel Hames is. I have no idea. I mean, I just kind of stumbled on this article. He has a PhD in theology. We won't hold that against him. But anyway, he wrote a really good article, I thought, on why people don't read their Bible. And he listed three main reasons why people don't read their Bible. You can guess what the first one was. Probably, what is it? Lazy. Time. I don't have time. Well, that's really not a legitimate excuse. We all know that. I mean, we all make time for what we need, make time for what we want. I'm rarely too busy to watch my favorite ball game. Or watch TV in general, or surf the internet, whatever it may be. But so we get that one. But listen to number two, because this was a reason I wasn't expecting. You ready for this? You don't read your Bible because you think the Bible is about you. You don't read your Bible because you think the Bible is about you. You know that. As soon as I read that, I heard that. You're so vain, you probably think this book is about you. Listen to what this guy said. deep down, you feel your Bible reading isn't working, and it's really because you read the Bible with your eyes on yourself. As you read it, you're looking for practical lessons on life, instructions on how to behave, and commands to go away and do right now. And you find that the Bible doesn't provide these particularly well. You agree with that? What do you think about that? Well, here's what Esther said. The solution to the problem is to see that the Bible is about Jesus and not us. The solution is to take our eyes off ourselves and begin to look at Jesus in the Bible. Despite all our hearts would have us believe, the Bible isn't a book given to dole out moral lessons, but a book given to teach us about Christ so that we can delight in Him. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. It's not a self-help book.
It's not about me, but it sure does convict me.
Amen to that. I agree with you about that. Yeah. I agree with that. Listen to this. This may help somebody. If you found yourself treating the Bible as a moral how-to guide, your next move is to start reading it differently. Let the Bible show you the glory and beauty of Jesus, and you will find that as you do, love for Him will bubble up inside. Believe it or not, you will see Him held out to you in, even in obscure passages you have always avoided. You will find that dutifully going to the Bible for handy hints for the day, you will gladly run to it so that Christ will conquer your heart afresh so that you will take your gaze off yourself and obsess over Him instead. What do you think about that? This is a book about Jesus. It is not a book about us. It's about Him and the love He has for us. I've heard Brother Cal call it, say it. It's a hymn book, H-I-M, and it is a hymn book. That's exactly right with that. Any thoughts on that? Oh, it was a good, really good article. Try reading it sometime with no intentions of getting anything out of it for yourself. Just read it sometime to try to figure out and find something about Jesus in it. Just do it. Just try it one time. Amen. Well said. Well said. And then this guy gives the third reason we don't read our Bible. He says the third reason is we do it because it's for God's benefit and not ours. I'll be transparent with you. That's one I can identify with. I get like that. I can relate to that. Everyone will be familiar with this situation. You've been going strong in your Bible reading, enjoying it and feeling your love for the Lord grow. But something comes up, perhaps an opportunity for a Sunday morning sleep in, and you miss a day. Somehow the next day gets dropped too. And before you know it, it's been a week, maybe two, maybe three. Can I get a witness? The feeling you get isn't a stomach rumbling or a dry throat, not a spiritual hunger or thirst. It's a nagging guilt which tells you that if you really cared about God, then you would have read the Bible, that you should have finished, and that you really should have finished the book of Jeremiah a month ago. The flip side of this feeling, of course, is a sense of satisfaction. Dare you admit it, when you do read the Bible, especially when you manage to read a whole book in one setting, you think, I'm obviously maturing as a Christian, and are tempted to drop into conversations. Yes, I was in Ezekiel 47 this morning. Marvelous chapter it is. The diagnosis for you is that you imagine your Bible reading is doing God a favor. The crushing guilt you feel when you miss it is your heart telling you God is displeased. And the slightly haughty contentment you feel when knocking out five chapters instead of your usual four is your heart telling you that God is somehow now smiling on you. You agree with that? Yeah. Yeah.
If we take so much the directions out of it and just read the story, I think it becomes more exciting.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I've said it many times, you know, this is our, it's our owner's manual, you know, it's how to get through life. And it is all that, which is kind of what Ellen was saying. It is all those things, but it's a book about Jesus, and it'll come more alive to you if you read it that way. It is all about Jesus. This guy's Catholic, by the way. I'm just saying, I think he's spot on. I mean, but anyway, and let me just say this. Pat touched on it. If you don't like to read, I get that. There's a lot of people that don't like to read. Get you an app on your phone. Buy some CDs, whatever it may be, and listen to the Bible. It's okay to listen to the Bible instead of reading it. You can listen to it when you're driving, when you know, put earbuds in when you're mowing the grass. I don't do it, whatever you're doing. Just listen to the Bible. Can I just remind you, when the good news spread in the early church, they weren't out passing out tracts and Bibles. They didn't have them. People heard it by word of mouth. It's the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, I do a ton of studying. I'm not listening to somebody read the Bible. Sometimes I do, but I listen to other commentators do what I'm doing right now as I'm driving to and from work. I get a lot of studying done that way. So you don't, a lot of people, I hated reading I do a lot of reading now, but I hated reading when I was in high school and college. But anyway, verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. By this time you ought to be teachers. By this time. What does that tell you? These people aren't new converts. Evidently, they must have been believers for a while now. And that's usually the way it happens, isn't it? Who's likely to quit reading their Bible? A brand new Christian or somebody who's been saved for quite a while? You know, a brand new believer, he's on fire. He can't get enough reading the Bible. And then, you know, as time goes on, that fire kind of, if we're not careful, it'll grow dim. That was the whole point of the first four verses of chapter 2. He said, be careful. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. He said, if you don't stay after your faith, you can find yourself drifting. I've drifted a time or two in my day. He asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So let me ask you. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, you should read your Bible, you should read your Bible, you should read your Bible. What creates a hunger to read God's Word? You may be sitting here saying, you know, I wish I did want to read the Bible more. Well, tell me what do you think creates a hunger to want to read the Word more? Yeah? Want to know more about Jesus? It does grow your faith. What was that? I heard a preacher say one time, we have this mistaken idea that spiritual hunger and physical hunger are alike. They're completely opposite. When you're physically hungry and you eat, how do you feel afterwards? Full, satisfied. But when you're spiritually hungry and you eat and you partake in the Word of God, you know how you feel? I want more. I want more. Ironically, your appetite grows. When you study God's Word, you don't get your fill. You can't get your fill. The more into it you get, the more into it you are, if that makes any sense. But here's the bad news. If you're physically hungry, the longer you go without eating, the hungrier you get, right? But ironically, the longer you go without opening or reading your Bible, the less you want to, right? Yes, that's right. Yeah. So the answer to the question, what creates hunger for God's word? If you wanted to read your Bible more, then read your Bible more, if that makes sense. If you'll just start doing it, you'll want to start doing it more. You got to start, though. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not reading for reading's sake. No, not at all. And I'm not talking about reading the whole Bible. Just take a book. Get in the New Testament. Take the Gospel of John. Take one of Paul's short letters. I don't care what it is. Just take it and say, I am owning this book right here. I'm going to read it backwards, forwards, sideways. I'm going to study what's in it. I'm going to own this book. I promise you, if you'll do that, you'll start wanting to do more of it. I promise you, you will. It's just a fact.
You know, if you're wanting to learn a new language, a lot of times they talk about the immersion method where you just
go in. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Amen. That's exactly right. What were you going to say, Mel?
I was just going to say it's a good thing to have a study Bible.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, listen to it. I work with a guy who listens to it every morning. And he's always coming in saying, I heard such and such out of Deuteronomy this morning. He said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. He does it all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Dave, you going to say something?
Yeah.
Picking it up. I've heard you say that before. I mean, you told me that. Yeah. 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 Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. It does.
You know what I'm
sure, I do.
I mean, it's just like you going through it. But now, most of the time, I can go ahead and read it and know what the next part of the verse is.
Yeah. So yeah.
I read it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to have a good, it has a true meaning for you if you just read it and absorb it.
Right. And I agree with what Beverly said. I've done that. I've read a whole chapter and then think. I don't no more know what that's I just read than a man in the moon. I wasn't paying any attention to that, and I get convicted, and I'll go back and read it again, you know, and try to pay more. So it's not reading for reading's sake. It was David. Was that you had something? Yeah. John, okay, yeah. 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 Ooh. No, I can't. I can't. Sure, it comes alive. Dick, you. There you go. That's another good one. There you go. Yeah. 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 Hey, don't. And I think the point. I'm so glad you said that because it goes along with my talking about playing a seed. Don't get religious about it. I'm not here to put. I'm not trying. I know you say, "Yeah, you're not putting me on a guilt trip." That's not my point. My point is there's a lot of ways to digest the Bible. Don't get all hung up that you have to read it. Just get it in you some kind of way. Whatever. Or somebody else. A coach. The easiest way, I think, you got to lay a Bible reading plan throughout the year. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And the plans are unlimited. Make your own plan up. I don't care. I'll tell you what I do. I get up in the morning and I read. Lee, I've heard you say, I read 5 Psalms a day. Well, I get up and I read 1 chapter out of the gospel, and I go through the gospels, and I just cycle through them. That's what I do in the morning, first thing. And then I'm trying to read through the Bible again just to do it. So I got that going on, and then, of course, I'm studying for whatever it is. But this, anyway, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back and telling you what a good little Bible reader I am. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying there's any number of systems. You come up, read, you know, how many times I've heard Brother Roger say, you know, the 31 Proverbs, there's 31 days in a month. Whatever day, what is today? The 28th. Go home and read the 28th Proverb, chapter of Proverbs. And then tomorrow, read the 29th. And whatever. And if you miss a day, you miss a day. You're not going to hell because you missed a day. But whatever date the day is, then read that proverb, that chapter. It's a great way to do it. It's a great book. Brother Bill Graham, up there at First Baptist Church, he said, read the Bible. Yeah. That's a great way to do it, man. Great way to do it. We're not going to get through this, are we? But he says there, where am I here? I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, this, you ought to, by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, I don't mean we all need to be teachers in the literal sense, but you need to be able to teach or explain certain principles about the Bible. I mean, just imagine if somebody walked up to you and said, "Are you saved?" And I think most of us in here would say, "Well, yeah, I am saved." And they said, "Oh, good. Tell me how I can do it. How I can be saved." You need to know how to explain that to them. So you need to know how to answer that. You don't have to give them a lecture in systematic theology. Just the principles, the basics, certain basics. And he says there, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God. That's what my translation says, principles. Yours, if you got one of the newer translations, probably says the basics, same thing. First principles, basics, are the foundation of which upon which everything else is built. And he's going to give us a list of first principles when we get into verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. There's more to it than that, but anyway. but you notice he says, you need someone to teach you the basics all over again, which means you need to be, you must have, they must have already been taught it once. Now they need somebody to teach it to them again. You've been taught it. Now you need it again because you're being lazy. You're getting dull of hearing. I was telling someone this week, I was texting with somebody this week, and I said, there was a time in my life where I used to think all the time, I wish I knew more about the Bible, and I wish I knew this more about the Bible and this thing about the Bible. And the Holy Spirit dropped this magnificent epiphany on me, and he says, well, why don't you do something about it? And so that's when I started studying. Now, this next verse is interesting. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Unskilled. What does that mean? What skills do you need to have with the word of God? How is a person skilled in the word of righteousness? What does that mean? Yes.
You have to study that.
Yes.
And when you're talking about them at that time and what he's addressing there, I look at it in the way that it's the same with you and I, that we need to know the signs of his coming.
Yes.
Return,
yes.
Because you'll miss it too.
Yeah.
And you will know that, you know, how close we are.
Yes. Agreed. I agree.
You have to go deeper.
Yeah.
Because you won't even know. You know, like we say, you said it before, the Old Testament points.
Yeah.
And now it tells you the beginning, it tells you what to expect, and it tells you the ending.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
So you leave the old covenant.
But you got to be able to recognize it.
You have to be able to recognize
That's right.
And you have to recognize the signs of the times now.
Yeah.
That we're on the very close edge of his return. So.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
It's, you can't explain it.
Huh?
You can't explain it because you don't.
Well, you can't explain it if you don't know it. That's for sure. That's right. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not. Being able to verbally cut up somebody in a theological argument, that's not what it is. You're never going to argue anybody into salvation. The answer really is in verse 14. Look at it. And it's basically the same thing Lee is saying. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern both good and evil. That's the skill you need. That's, you know, recognizing.
Constant practice.
That's good. Yeah. And discernment. You know what that means, right? You know discernment. Knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Ellen, did I cut you? Did you? Miss Nancy, were you going to say something? Yes.
Word,
yes, that's right. That's right out of the
that
Yeah. You know why this is so important? I'm glad you hit on that. I was just with my first grandchild yesterday. And we're laying there on the floor playing and all that. And I noticed everything he picked up, where did it go? A baby will eat anything. And a baby Christian who doesn't know the word and doesn't have any discernment, they'll eat anything too. They'll believe anything. They'll listen to anything. Any preacher that's on TV, they'll just suck it right on in. How do you know if what that preacher's saying is right or wrong if you're not in your word? No. That's right.
I look at the meat of scripture, like chawing a hump of jerky. Just chaw on it, and allow the Holy Spirit to just and absorb it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Don't get religious about that. You're not going to hell if you don't read your Bible tomorrow. But you need to read it. You need to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, try it. That's right. You ain't got to. That's right. By the way, did you know reading the Bible can be a reason why God does not hear or answer prayers? Did you know that? Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Proverbs 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. I never seen that verse till the other day. But notice something else. Somebody touched on this too. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The NIV, I like its the NIV's translation. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I like that. You cannot grow in Christ apart from Christ, God's word. You can't do it. Man, I got to stop. I'm not near done. We'll just make a break at chapter 6. I was trying to get through verse 3, but we got to get out of here. Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot. I cut you off. Yeah. 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 You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be eloquent. You let the Holy Spirit worry about all that stuff. Yeah. But again, hear me now. Hear my heart. I know it doesn't sound like it. I'm not here to put you on a guilt trip, but I'm trying to give you a recipe. I know you, if you love Jesus, you either are or wish you were more in the Word. Well, I'm telling you the way to do it is to just get into it, and it just begins to feed on itself, like I was talking about the difference between physical hunger and spiritual hunger. Just make the effort, and it'll come. It'll come. I promise you it will. Any other thoughts? I feel like I beat you up today. I didn't mean to. I didn't do it anyway. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. This didn't come from me. It's just, yeah, talk to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that wrote that. So I'll close this out. Father, give us an insatiable desire for your word. This week, we just need more of you. However much we have of you, it's never enough. Dismiss us now in your love, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.